Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 46, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For Friday, August 31st? Is that right? Cool. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Zeitgeist, Daily Zeitgeist. They're the modern second-rate podsy from the town of L.A. It's a place right out of history. Let's ride with the Zeitgeist down the street. Through the courtesy of Jack O.B. When you're with the Zeit Gang, have a yabba dabba do cast, a dabba do cast, a second rate podcast. That is courtesy of Hannah Soltis.
Wow.
And now for the third verse.
She's coming through with
when you're. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it's Miles, a.k.a. Israel Jim, a.k.a. Grime Slay, a.k.a. Gray Slime, a.k.a. Grimy Eels, Remy is Gel, yes, Leg Rim. Those are all anagrams because after Caitlin Durante came on and killed it with the anagrams and all anagrams for a name, Latin Dancer UTI, shout out to the Zeit Gang for hitting me with anagrams in my name.
I just couldn't bring anything that was so clearly inferior to Latin Dancer UTI, the best anagram of all time.
And those come from the girl Michael, at the girl Michael, who else? Kyle Grakowski. And James McDonald.
But shout out to the people who worked on anagrams of my name. I'm gonna use them at some point.
Are there good ones? But,
it's just like I need to forget Latin Dancer UTI. Just get that out of my mind because there will never be another Latin Dancer UTI.
You're like Salieri,
right?
You know, with that anagram.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not Mozart.
Once I've seen Mozart, what the fuck?
Like, none of this shit matters.
Well, in our third seat, we have the talented writer and contributing editor and co-host of Backtalk Podcast at Bitch Media. She's a Kundiman Fellow and the John and Renee Grisham Fellow at the University of Mississippi. We're thrilled to be joined once again by Amy Lay.
Hi.
Hey.
I don't have any of what you guys
any
just
did. Anagrams?
None. I only have like
six letters.
I only have six letters, and four of them are the same letter.
Llama.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yam.
Llama Y.
Yam Mal.
Why Llama?
Yam Alm.
There we go.
Like you're giving an alms for the four. That's a yam alm.
And this will be the rest of the podcast.
Yep.
Just working
all right, let's
on
do
anagrams
Anna's name.
For
and nah. All right, forget it. On with the show then, I guess.
Amy, we're going to check in with you, get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about Serena Williams' cat suit and her Virgil Abloh outfit that she's rocking at the U.S. Open. We're going to be talking about, you guessed it, Jaden Smith's eyebrows. We're going to be talking about Beto O'Rourke and the attack ads that Ted Cruz thinks he's making about him. Not clear that they're attack ads. We're going to talk about the governor's race in Florida immediately going problematic. We're getting a clear picture of Trump's death spiral. We're going to
how this might look.
We're going to prognosticate about that. We are going to talk about just various people leaving the Trump organization, the federal government, including the top student loan debt official. We're going to talk about this dude, Anand and Giri Doradas. Fuck. I apologize, Anand. But he is releasing a book called Winner Take All that is basically he like went through all the elite class Aspen Ideas festivals and, you know, all that shit. And he's like he's a spy on the elites. And he's telling us what they're doing to fake fix the world and actually keep the system in place. We're going to talk about the Dine and Ditch dater. He has been caught, arrested.
Justice.
Michael Jackson just turned 60. We're going to talk about him, and we're going to talk about the ultimate KFC publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Getting people to name their baby after the Colonel. But first, Amy, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, recently I'm writing the story, and there's a line where I talk about the male bowerbirds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're the birds that, like, build these intricate structures to attract, like, a female bird so they would mate. And then after they mate, they, like, leave the lady. And the lady has to, like, bring up the kid on their own.
In the bower?
No. I don't know. I mean, I think it's just, it's, like, the thing that they create. I thought it was a nest. That's what I was, like, Googling. But it's just, like,
like a cave,
it's, like,
right?
A decorative structure.
Yeah.
And they're actually really beautiful. And they often, like, collect scraps that are, like, the same color, and so it looks like a mosaic.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive works of art.
It's pretty wild, and I'm just like, wow. Like, I was like writing this line that I was trying to correlate to like men are trash, because he does all this extravagant work to like build this structure, and then like he fucks a lady, and then like she lays eggs and makes chicks. And then he leaves her to build another like extravagant structure for somebody else.
Right.
And the structure is also like useless. It's just decorative.
Yeah, it's purely decorative. Yeah.
So like a Trump building.
Yeah. But more noble than that.
I guess. They know how to finesse these fucking twigs and shit.
We've talked about the book Evolution of Beauty before on this podcast and just like how much of evolution is just purely decorative stuff. Just to attract a mate. And yeah, these birds. The guy who wrote that book is a ornithologist and, you know, a bird behavioralist and knows everything about that shit. And there's some really compelling mating rituals.
They don't call it peacocking for nothing, man.
Yeah. They sure don't, Miles. You said it.
In the pickup artist community.
Right.
You know what I mean? As I learned from Mystery.
Yeah, a.k.a. Zeit Gang, the pickup artist community.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
That's who we cater to.
My pickup artists at.
What's your story about? Are you allowed to release that information?
Oh, I'm working on a novel.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
So it's literally just a line, and it's a... It's about family shit. So
family shit.
Ugh. I had to actually make an appointment to keep seeing my counselor at school so that I could write this, because I don't think I could write it without like working out my own family shit.
Oh, right.
That's good. And I had like an intake meeting so that I could get reassigned to my old counselor, and like this grad student was interviewing me, and I was like crying during the intake, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I can write this fucking book if I can't even like do an intake interview without breaking down. So.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of truth in that book.
A lot of trauma / truth, yeah.
Hey, well, I think it is a good thing.
Yeah. As your credits attest, you are a talented writer, a fiction writer.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. I tried to read the manuscript. It was just all tear-soaked ink pages.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated? You know, like these brands that really market towards like millennials, but they're kind of like not that like
cool.
They're not that
lit.
They're not lit AF.
But like, okay, so I'm thinking of top of my head, like that luggage brand Away.
You know, right. That has the battery in it, so they're like, you love this.
I had a friend recommend it to me, and I know she'll never listen to this, but I was just like, yo, I'm like, literally go buy an external battery pack on Amazon for like $10, and you don't have to spend all this money on this stupid suitcase that you can get at Ross for like $50. Also, those suitcases aren't even that great.
They're not good.
No. See? Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So, Miles, I got the, they advertised on my previous lesser podcast, the Cracked Podcast. Uh-huh.
Ooh, and shots fired. You hear that, Schmitty?
It was lesser when I hosted it. Alex made it better, and now it's a great podcast. But they advertised, and so they sent us like the first edition of the Away bag, and then the TSA changed it so you couldn't travel with
the battery in.
But it wasn't a removable battery when they sent it to me, so I had to like get in there with a screwdriver.
Right.
Like before I boarded the flight. I'm already trying to board the flight with like two babies. Such a pain in the ass.
What's wrong with those babies, man?
I know. They were so unhelpful. Yeah. I don't know how to use a
motor
screwdriver. I'm like, get me a Phillips head.
Yeah, I got one as like a promotional, like it was a gift bag that everything came in one of those. I was like, oh, this is cool. It's got a little battery in it. And I had the first gen too, where some airlines, they do allow you to go into the carry it on, but usually can't check it because they don't want any fucking lithium ion nonsense explosions going on while they're in transit. But yeah, like I remember like getting the suitcase and I was like, oh, it's cool. And then you actually start looking at it. You're like, this is just a thin plastic shell with a battery in it.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that works. But the marketing is slick though.
It's so good. And like there are other brands like there's like a cosmetic brand, Glossier. And I've tried some of their products. It's whatever. And then there's like, remember that that panties brand Thinx for women like on their period? But like you literally are supposed to like bleed onto this pair of panties. And I'm like, you know, I think for generations women have had period panties. They're just black panties that you bleed on and you wash. But like I don't want a pair of panties that's like soaked with my blood. Like I don't even know how you launder that. That's disgusting.
Super producer Anna Hosnier is our
underwear expert.
Yeah, resident. You got underwear and menstruation correspondent.
I'm currently wearing Thinx underwear.
Oh!
And it's an interesting thing because I'm not 100% behind them. I think it's an interesting thing. I wear them, but
good branding.
It's an interesting thing because they're not 100% like, you know, leak proof.
No.
I wear them because I'm a lazy person and I'm also at the same time trying to like lessen my like waist. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do this for a while. But they leak through, but it is the same thing. It just feels like you're wearing a diaper. And then a part of that, I'm also, they're very tight. They kind of make you feel like you're being held.
Oh.
Like a thunder shirt for your
face. Yeah. But exactly.
I think it's a thunder pad.
Yeah. But I think they're good in the sense that you're not using tampons and pads and stuff, so you lessen your waist. But like it is the same thing. It's like you're just kind of wearing black underwear and hoping for the best that you don't leak through. But sometimes I leak through and then I have days where I'm like, why the fuck do I keep purchasing this technology? But if you have a really heavy flow, it's a struggle. So that's the problem. It's not for everyone. And that's what's so frustrating. You're like, why can't we just make a fucking pair of underwear that just absorbs everything? And I am going crazy.
You know why? Because I'm sure there's too big of an industry to be like, yo, we can't just have people buying like one and done underwear like that.
True. But also the way I launder them, I have to hand wash them every
that's
day and hang dry them. Like I have a technique now where I have on my curtain, I have a bunch of my boyfriend right now is probably so happy that I'm revealing all this because he's been so pissed. I just moved and I have our entire curtain is hanging with hangers that have underwear hanging off them, like diaper looking underwear. So it's like,
and you just
it's
moved
a
in
process.
With him.
So yes. he's just like
I'm
learning to kill
but,
you.
But also when you're laundering them, because you're like washing them in the sink, right? When you wring them out, is it just
it's
like
all blood?
That's what that's like. Yeah. No, I'd rather just shove a tampon in me. Yeah. I don't even want to do that.
It's a whole thing.
Just get a wash bucket.
It's
so
a
just
whole
in general
thing.
For these like millennial products, it has to like seem like a simple solution to a problem with like a traditional,
but
it actually sometimes isn't a simpler solution. Yeah. And also all of their like promotional material and the material that comes with it has to be like sleekly designed, very like sparsely, like pencil drawn Helvetica.
Right, well, because Glossier is just trying to rip off the Supreme logo, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh
like,
my gosh,
it's just like Futura bold italic font, and it's like Glossier. And I'm like, wait, that's the Supreme logo for makeup. Yep.
Wow.
Is the product, is this nothing different? It's just the packaging that has people being like, ooh.
Yeah, or it's the marketing.
Yeah,
it's so sleek and it looks so good. Because I was interested in a way for a minute because I travel so much, but I'm just like, fuck this, like, I went on Amazon. I found like a really greatly reviewed bag that like I guess like airline staff use. You know, it's called Luggage Pro. I get no get no kickbacks on this, but definitely Google the. You guys can put a link in your footnotes or whatever, an affiliated link.
No, we're gonna bleep that name actually because they are not giving us enough money.
Where the cake at?
Yeah, exactly.
But I definitely recommend the rollerboard. International size one, carry on, because then you can carry it on international, not worry. And I do not fuck with spinny ones.
Oh, shit.
Those are like ridiculous, a waste of space. Okay. Rollerboard's the way to go. They're like, you
what's
know, the spinny
one?
Ones with the four wheels that you can walk. The spinners.
Got it.
I don't fuck with those.
Wait, what do you use? Like an old bindle
stick? It's called a roller. The correct
bindle
term is
stick.
Rollerboard.
We're team bindle stick at the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yep, got my bindle stick.
Hobo style. Yeah.
There's no respect
for
the bindle stick.
I agree with the four-wheel one, though, because then you have to, like, carry it bolt upright, and it's just weird.
The rollerboard is the two big wheels on the back, and you actually get more luggage
space. No, I know.
Space.
I'm
yeah.
saying I agree. That's better than the one that you have to carry upright, like you're walking around with, like, a oxygen or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not how people move through airports. Anyways, we got to move on to your underrated, Amy.
Coupons.
Yes.
I love coupons.
Love a fucking coupon.
But only, because this is the thing about coupons. Like, you get super stoked because you get a coupon, but like, don't fuck with coupons that you're not going to use or like for a product that you don't even like that much just because you can save 50 cents on it. You find a good coupon or a service or a product that you were going to use, like, definitely remember the expiration date and use it before then.
And
obviously.
Abuse the shit out of
yes,
it.
Yes. I really love a good coupon.
I always like that, and I always scan the supermarket ads that you get in the mail, like the junk mail, for any like deals on like meat. That's the other thing I like to do. I'm like, oh shit, that rib roast.
Yeah, you gotta get that? The it's gotta be the expensive stuff. The stuff that's expensive in the first place.
Yup.
Or like something where they haven't thought it through fully. Exactly. Like the dude who got lifetime supply of airline miles because there was like a pudding cup promotion. It's basically they put this plot point in Punch Drunk Love because it was like such a crazy story. But the dude, it was, I think, some type of pudding cup that gave away like free airline miles if you bought like a certain number of pudding cups.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, all I need to do is spend like $1,000 on pudding cups and I can fly free for the rest of my life.
Oh, like because he could like from there, they just multiply on top of each other.
Yeah.
Oh, so beautiful.
He's yeah.
And so let's look out for that. Did he buy for like his family and friends too? I think he was just like, well, I've maxed out. Let me get my like
everybody involved.
My I hope gang in on it. Yeah.
I hope he didn't like throw it all away or something.
Damn.
Yeah,
good coupon. Get those meat deals.
Yeah,
good meat deal. Woo, boy. I'll make a prime rib next time that shit goes on fucking sale.
There should be a company that just goes around to people who have just moved into their houses mm-hmm. and consolidates the Bed Bath & Beyond, like $50
yeah,
coupons.
Yeah, all the new, like, hey, you just moved.
Yeah, you just moved. Here's the $50 coupon.
The wave book.
Yeah. That's my plan.
Okay, perfect. So
that and find a big bag of money.
That's a big announcement, guys. He's leaving How Stuff Works to pursue this coupon book thing that he thought of. Good luck to you, Jack.
Thank you, sir. Amy, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know a to be false?
I don't know if this is like a myth, but this is like a health tip, guys. Health corner with Amy. I've had this fucked up like pain in my left leg. I think it's a sciatic pain or like an SI joint pain. And I went to see a doctor about it at my school, and he was just like, you just have to take these like pain meds for the rest of your life. And I'm
what?
Like, bitch, yeah. I was just like, they were good pain meds. Like the first week I took them, I felt like I was high, and then actually the high wore off, and I'm like, this is not fun anymore. But I actually went and saw a good physical therapist this summer, and she got me working on my core, like these very specific exercises to strengthen my core so that it would like help my pain. And it's like immensely helped my pain. So I guess maybe the myth is you don't have to live with this pain. There is solution.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And also like on a good day, I have like a 2 to 4 pack now, which I've
Whoa. Oh, all right. 2 packs
like,
yeah.
Like one that you kinda have to like look at for a minute and then you see it. It's
They just take good lighting.
Yeah. Exactly. Then you take the eyebrow pencil
before
and you just
breakfast.
Shade it a little bit.
Before breakfast.
Yeah,
after morning pee one. Yeah.
Take the wild shit, don't eat breakfast, and you just
Yeah. No,
do a quick workout.
The solutions to chronic pain being painkillers is an idea that is going out of style big time in the pain relief community. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, work with a doctor, but also, you know, physical therapists and, you know, just exercises can really help in a lot of ways.
Yeah, just being flexible. Like, I remember when you sit down a lot, I get lower back pain, and then people are like, your hamstrings are tight.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I read an article about how you can sit better. And it's about sticking your ass out.
Yeah, it's your pelvic tilt, right?
Yeah. So I'm like always sitting like this now, and I think it's helping.
Damn,
no,
right,
for
you're
real, because
right.
I'm
right.
Not one of these types of sitters. Everybody's sitting straight.
No, you sit up
straight. It isn't about puffing your chest out; it's about sticking your ass out.
We just improved.
I just have to. But if everything, I sit with like rounded shoulders a lot, so I have to kind of.
Everybody's sitting.
You just
so
spontaneously improved the posture of 100,000 people, so that's good.
Yeah. Everybody sit the fuck up and tell your, it's not about your back because like you could sit with a tilted pelvis and just try and sit up, right? But if you just change that angle a little bit, whoop, there
like,
you go.
The article said it kind of acts like you're wagging, like pretend you have a tail in your butt and you're like trying to wag it. So you got to like stick it out to wag.
Or if you're twerking, just isolate.
right.
Because that's really like part
make
of it.
Make it bounce. Make it bounce. Arch
that back.
As we arch that back and make it bounce, we are going to get into the news of the day. As we're recording this, it is the second leg of the John McCain month-long memorial service. I think it just concluded. Joe Biden is getting a lot of attention for giving a good speech. And I just wanted to, we always keep our eye on the Google trends, like what's trending, what are the most people in the United States searching for? And like numbers 1 and 2 for the past couple of days have just been people reacting at John McCain's memorial service.
Yeah.
Like, right now, it's Joe Biden, Meghan McCain breaking down into tears was a couple days ago. So this is, you know, still a thing that people are going through.
And the reason why Trump brought the flag back up, because he's like, he was all getting mad that it was eating up so much news cycle.
Right.
He's like, it's like he's a president. He said something to that effect. Like, oh, my God. Well, this is what happens when people have some a shred of respect for you.
I like my presidents who won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who didn't give up. Anyway.
Serena Williams, there is, so the U.S. Open just kicked off, and the head of the French Open basically said he didn't like the way that she looked when she was wearing her cat suit at the French Open this past year, where she won the French Open. But she had a specially designed sort of form-fitting bodysuit that was designed specifically to help with the blood clots in her leg, which is like a huge health risk and like can keep her from dying. His exact quote was, "I think that sometimes we've gone too far. It will no longer be accepted, her bodysuit. One must respect the game and the place."
One must respect the game and the place.
What, was my French accent not good?
No.
One must respect.
None.
The.
Yeah, I like how it's just all because he's like, well, I don't like it.
Right.
Like, you couldn't point to anything else. I mean, aside from, you know, obviously patriarchy with women's tennis, like, put on your mini skirt.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we like.
And her body has been, like, policed and looked at, like, ever since she started. And, you know, that something we talked about on a recent episode is the idea of, you know, black women's bodies being policed, especially, like, even in public schools. Like,
right.
Oh, you can't wear that hairstyle because it's disrespectful to our sensibilities.
Uh-huh.
It isn't like the suit said, fuck this game on it. Like, how is it disrespectful to the game? I mean, if it said that, I'd be like, oh, okay. It's made you lots of money, but sure.
I think it's just saying one must respect the status quo.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Of and the dated traditions of this sport.
And the status quo is mini skirts. It's like, well, that's great for you.
Well, there's another woman,
horny,
I think,
old
at the U.S.
man.
Open who, because it's so hot, she changed her shirt on the court.
No, it's because she had it on backwards.
Oh, she had it on backwards and had to turn it around? Right. Yeah, uh-huh. And had to take her shirt off.
We've
and they're
all
like,
been there.
Oh, I have to give you a warning.
Right.
Whereas, like, men straight up take their shirts off and put new ones on, and it's like, there's no problem.
Well,
but again, they don't like to see a sports bra or just someone operating to make themselves more comfortable or fix their shirt.
Right.
But, you know, we'll warn them.
Meanwhile, Serena responded by showing up to the U.S. Open in, I think, the dopest outfit ever worn during a tennis match. It was designed by Virgil Abloh. It's like a tutu thing that, I don't know, man. It's up there.
It's part of the Queen collection that they're doing. Yeah, I mean, it's... you know, for people who don't know Virgil Abloh, he has a brand Off-White, and he's now Louis Vuitton's creative director. And you might notice some of our merch looks similar to some of his design.
Inspired by Virgil Abloh.
Some might say, or I would say maybe he ripped us off. But, you know.
it's
what came first, Off-White or the Daily Zeitgeist merchandise from last week?
Yes.
But I don't know. We don't know for sure.
But yeah, he also has like the dopest shoes out, like the dopest Nikes.
And he's just been, he put around this tutu and it has the, I just like how on her shirt, though, even her name is in quotes, just like Serena, quote unquote.
Yeah, and it says logo here or brand name. What would you say, Miles and Amy, is the coolest, like, sporting event outfit? Like, I was thinking my favorites are probably Michael
Jordan. Someone on court?
Like an athlete.
While playing.
Yeah, if you were costuming them in a scene in a movie. Like Michael Jordan in his prime in his Red Bulls away jersey in the fours, like the 88.
In the fours, wow,
In the fours with his 88 dunk contest, Jordan was probably like among my favorites. And then the Fab Five.
Actually, in the 88, he wore threes when he won the dunk contest.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I feel like a fool.
With Nike Air on the back. But that's okay. This, you know, I'm not trying to pull your sneakerhead card. StockX, sponsor us. So my look, I liked when he started wearing the calf sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and then Kobe ripped that off, too.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, like, I thought that was a little, everyone was like, ooh, what does he need a compression sleeve on his calf for?
And the Fab Five, when they wore the black socks and the baggy shorts, that was very important to me as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, well, that was kind of bringing in a new style to basketball, too, where it's like, yeah, this is how the younger people are dressing on the court.
And you're working with a base of, like, really great uniforms with the away Bulls jerseys and the Fab Five. The Michigan uniforms are always among the best.
Let's see. I liked Kerry Kittles, who played for Villanova. He had one long-ass sock that went up to his knee and then one short sock was an interesting look for me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people, like, as a kid, I thought Deion Sanders – was just always, you know, rocking his bandanas and stuff like that, and his earrings was cool.
Yeah.
And Andre Agassi.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
Doing it for the bald men. You know what I mean? He rocked that thin ass hair.
Doing what for the bald men? Wearing a wig?
But then he was like, yo, fuck this, and took it off and went full Agassi. But yeah, I mean, that piece was something else.
But when he was at his most stylish, like during the camera commercial Agassi, he had that like wild ass wig
like
on.
Vivitar.
Like what? Probably one of the best wigs ever rocked, because like nobody thought that shit was a wig.
To be fucking competing in sports with a long ass wig on.
Yeah. One of the best ever.
Some say if he had just ditched the wig, he would have been greater than Pete Sampras.
Yeah.
You know, because they said the wig really limited him.
Who the fuck remembers Pete Sampras?
Oh my goodness.
That's right, Sampras heads, come at me.
I saw a really great costume by this gymnast. Her name is Jordan Childs. She was at the 2018 Gymnastics Championships in Boston. So she wore a Wonder Woman leotard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she's like a young black woman wearing like and it's like beautiful. It's like really well done and sparkly. When she did like her whole like floor routine in it, I was just like, wow, that's a look.
Oh, yeah, that's dope. Yeah.
They should like make the USA team wear that when they compete in the Olympics.
I remember from the Winter Olympics, Medvedeva, that skater who was like just crushing it, the Russian figure skater. She wore a Sailor Moon outfit. I saw
it. Yes,
that was
kind of
like this past year. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, look at you. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, also Michael Johnson, when he came out in the tracksuit with the golden...
Oh, the golden shoes on?
Golden shoes. Those are dope. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And before we get into the serious news of the day, we are just... wanted to talk about Jaden Smith's eyebrows. They're nowhere to be seen. Eyebrows have always been something I've noticed on people's faces.
Really? You don't say?
Well, no. Like one time when I was younger, I was like, oh, well, Whoopi Goldberg doesn't have eyebrows. And people are like, why? Why do you know that? That's weird.
Oh, wow, that's
why is that a conspiracy? But yeah, eyebrows are a big deal, and this dude looks wild without eyebrows.
I will say that, because I had a really fucking early flight, and I came to stay at my brother's house, and I took a nap before I came here, and I was just like, I gotta fucking catch his lift so I can get in the studio on time or whatever, but I was like, I need to put my eyebrows on first. Like, I legit penciled in, I had to like fill in my eyebrows before.
Oh, your eyebrows are filled in?
Yeah, I mean, I have pretty good eyebrows, but I do fill them in so that they can look just a little bit, you know.
There you go.
Right.
But like, they're a big deal.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just think about like in Arrested Development, wasn't Ed Begley's character had the alopecia?
Right.
And he had the fake eyebrows on, and he just put them on wrong, and they're like, oh, you look surprised. And he's like, oh, I must have put on my eyebrows too high. You realize how much, the eyebrows do, they're the window to the soul.
The window to the soul. They're the frames of the
window frames,
to the soul. Window
and
dressing.
And if there's no window frames, broken window theory, then the neighborhood's a mess.
Anyways.
Sociology mixed with your eyebrow culture.
Speaking of the face, Beto O'Rourke. So Ted Cruz is now going into attacking Beto O'Rourke in some campaign ads, and I just think Ted Cruz is so tone deaf to like what is cool and charismatic that like he is accidentally making Beto O'Rourke look good.
Right.
Because like he had like something about, they had a picture of Beto O'Rourke's mugshot after getting arrested for a DUI. Not cool drinking and driving, but he looks like so hot and like cool in the mugshot and like just, I don't know. And they're like, oh, sorry, I had to go catch a gig or something like that. And it's like, so basically like this dude is super cool.
Like a
and,
rock
like,
star.
And you're like an annoying parent or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's all they got. Well, now it makes sense because they're nearly in a like statistical deadlock on the polls, or he's creeping. We'll see what happens.
I think it'll eventually work. I think Ted Cruz is gonna pull it out, unfortunately. But
really,
I do. I don't know, man. Like the Beto O'Rourke. Like now that I've started paying attention to, I feel like a lot of people started paying attention to him. But I mean, people in Texas have known about him, and like he's getting a lot of national attention. But I feel like everybody's kind of known the story for a while in Texas, and it's not like he's gonna experience this huge wave now.
We'll see, dude. Surf could be up. Surf's up, bruh.
Yeah, and you can't underestimate like what a cute mugshot can do for you.
That's true.
Like look what we did for Hot Felon.
Yeah. Right.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
He's out here making moves. Did he just marry like a billionaire or something?
Yeah, he married or he impregnated the heiress to, I think, Topshop or something.
Yeah, one of those fast fashion companies.
So, I was like, damn, you really put that seed in her.
Yo, yeah.
I was like living that. Cause, and also,
he shot up the club. Yeah.
But, you know, he had like a wife that was like with him throughout his whole ordeal before that. When he had kids with her. I like went on her Instagram and like everybody looked. Yeah, that's really sad. And he left her for this like heiress, obviously.
Well, he is a hot felon. He's not a hot morally scrupulous man.
I know. It's part of his appeal.
So yeah, he's a literal bad boy.
It might work for Beto. You never know.
Well, and it might work out for Hot Felon and his ex-wife because now he's going to be rich.
Man.
So.
But yeah, there's another picture where they compared Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz around the same time. Like, Ted Cruz looks like a fucking numpty. Like, just like,
numpty.
Hey, like, I'm smoking this cigar and I'm 22. Wow. And then Beto O'Rourke.
Smoking a cigar at 22?
Yeah. And then there's another one of, like, Beto O'Rourke. He's, like, in the band. He's just, like, bass hanging on, like, sleeveless shirt.
It's
fucking Beto, Brett.
Yeah. No, all the old pictures they're trying to pull of him just make him look, like, super fucking cool.
And who are they trying to convince, though, too? They're like, oh, wow, a mugshot. Okay.
Probably, like, the older voters. But, I mean, I think the idea probably with Beto should be that they're going to get the younger people who don't normally vote out.
Right.
But Ted Cruz is just appealing to the people who usually vote in these elections, which are old-ass people who are just like, you know.
What's next? Like, probably a really poorly executed meme burn against Beto O'Rourke. Yeah. Like, Ted Cruz clearly doesn't know how a meme works. And he's like, when you get arrested for a DUI.
And DUIs aren't even like that big a deal. Like, so I live in a small town in the South, and every few days the police department will tweet like their stats on what they did that weekend or whatever. How many DUIs. Yeah. And I'm just like, all these rich Southern kids, they get DUIs like nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if these grandparents are going to be, they're going to be like, oh my God, just like my grandson. Yeah. What a cutie.
You're right. They're like, it reminds me of my grandson.
Although young Zeitgeist listeners, still bad to drink and drive.
No, we're not advocating for drinking and driving. We're just saying.
I know what Amy was saying. Well, she was saying everybody should go out and drink and drive
because
it makes you cool.
Look, if you're buzz driving and the cops pull you over, refuse a breathalyzer test, have them take you to the hospital because at that point maybe your BAC goes down and you don't pop on the test. I don't know. That
might
be a
tip. That worked for one person.
That's worked for a couple people. Okay.
Also, suck on pennies. They'll make you pass the breathalyzer.
Was that another weird hack?
That's what I heard when I was younger. Back in my day,
just put a bunch of change in your mouth.
Yeah.
Your breath smells like copper.
It was probably put out there by cops just to be like, and if somebody opens their mouth and change falls
comes
out, they're probably hammered. All right. And then the governor's race in Florida. So there was an inspiring story of the Democratic candidate who came from behind in the primary and is going into the general election. And it's kind of a dead heat. And the Republican nominee who immediately implored his listeners to not monkey this up.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. And what's the Democrat's name?
Andrew Gillum.
Yeah. So I should have learned the names of the two main characters in this news story we're talking about. But
the two main
characters. Yeah.
And this is how we look at news.
Yes, exactly.
What's the third act of this?
So the protagonist here is...
Ron DeSantis, we also found out that he is like an administrator of this Tea Party group on Facebook that, like, I think also Kelly Ward, the one of the Senate candidates from Arizona.
The one who lost.
And there's another Senate candidate, Corey Stewart. They're all like admins on this page. And like, it's all just that dumbass
racist
misogynist,
shit.
Offensive Facebook shit. Like, you know.
The Tea Party still around?
Well, I think they probably like. That was an early movement that they could gather around like in 2009, 2010. And then they probably just one of those things like, we'll just evolve the content.
Why don't they rebrand?
Because they don't know how to.
Alt-right.
I think their knowledge of American history, like it ends with the Boston Tea Party. So they're like,
I bet they're already rebranding. We just don't know what they are yet. But I mean,
the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire crew. Like,
because
what?
The Koch brothers were behind that shit all along. And it was part of like a...
They're AstroTurfing.
You can drop that song in right now, Nick, but it's actually true.
Yeah, Koch Brothers.
Yeah, okay. So is all my conspiracy theories.
But yeah, he on that group, all the fucking just really dumb stuff, like saying, you know, they're protesting because, you know, they're overpaid ball chasers who kneel like ISIS. or saying that, like, you know, dumb shit about, like, you know, run-of-the-mill Islamophobia, saying Islam is a religion of, quote, pedophilia, sex slavery, rape gangs, and honor killings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's the admin on that group. So
cool.
He had to actually withdraw himself because it got hot for him when they're like, not only did you say monkeying it up, right, but then we found you at you're the admin of this Tea Party group.
Yeah. And apparently DeSantos is just purely a Fox News dude. He was on Fox News 200 times. So it's just like, I am essentially a stand-in for Trump. Vote for me like I'm Trump.
Right, exactly. And Andrew Gillum, he actually, I think, tried to go to nearly every county to try and court votes.
Yeah, but what's that going to do?
What's that going to do?
What's my vote going to change?
Yeah.
Let's talk about where the president himself is these days.
What? Yeah. Really starting to see how this could all unravel. I mean, it's like now you're starting to see the thing where, like, they're adding weights and they're adding more weight. And you're like, ooh, this could eventually make it all cave in. Because, you know, a few weeks ago we found out that Don McGahn, the White House counsel, put in like 30 hours in the booth with hit producer Bobby Mueller cooperating with him. And, you know, the White House is like, no, that's all chill. Don't worry. Yeah, like, we were cool with that. And, you know, he's not implicating us in anything.
Right, because we're not worried about anything.
Right. Then earlier this week or the end of last week, we started to hear stories that McGahn was actually thinking about leaving soon, mm-hmm. possibly in the fall after Kavanaugh is hopefully rejected, but maybe after his confirmation. And then the reports of him saying, like, he may or may not leave, like, started irritating Trump, apparently. So then he just fired off a tweet. He was like, basically, like, see you later, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, and even Don McGahn was like, oh, okay, I didn't
Am
know.
I leaving?
I guess I'm leaving then. So you're starting to see that Don McGahn has been the person who's been there for the beginning. Like, he was the counsel for, I think, much of the campaign and the transition, and had a front seat to all this other, you know, things that are being investigated.
He was the guy who threatened to quit when Trump tried to get him to fire Mueller.
Yeah, exactly. So he's kind of been the brakes on the thing from fully going off the cliff. And I think it's an interesting sign that that person is leaving, and now you're starting to see even more unhinged behavior from Trump, like, now really trying to sound the, like, let's fire Jeff Sessions alarm and do all this other stuff. But you're starting to see, like, a world where he's pushing out all these, like, legal people that he'll need, because the Washington Post then had a story with, like, 26 or something confirmed sources that are, like, within the administration or aides to the administration or people who consult with the administration who are all like, hey, man, he's not taking this shit seriously. Like, if the House gets taken by the Dems, like, he doesn't realize the kind of, like, legal jeopardy and not trying to lawyer up, have a game plan. Because, like, if all these subpoenas start hitting, like, he's going to have to produce documents, all these other things, and he's just not ready. And, I mean, that's when you're going to, I think, start seeing real problems, too, because a lot of people don't want to be even associated with the administration, like, in terms of, like, they can't really hire worthwhile lawyers. They can't hire, like, worthwhile people to work in the administration. A lot of people have said, if the blue wave crashes on the SS rat fuck Trump ship, that they're all going to bail, because they all see, like, impending legal fees, too, from just being in the administration having to deal with stuff. So
I feel like his behavior is making more and more sense to me if you just keep in mind that he's a celebrity before anything else.
Right.
So, like, celebrities have entire companies built around them of people whose paychecks rely on them continuing to be the celebrity.
Right.
So he has sycophants around him who are like yes men. That's a celebrity is just surrounded by an industry of professional yes men. So he's insulated in his own world where he never needs to learn to type as for one thing. Or just, like, to do anything, and where his isolation from reality is actually good for the people around him because it makes him easier to manipulate. And, you know, every celebrity is basically a brand / small company who their role is to stay oblivious.
Yeah.
It's kind of like with, like, Nicki Minaj, like, nobody was telling her, you need to, like, chill with these tweets about
right.
Safari, about Travis. So. Yeah, or a Safari. But, like, Trump is, like, 3 tweets away from being like, listen to me talk about it on Queen Radio.
Right, right, exactly. He's like, I'm going in. Ebro, get ready. Ebro and Rosenberg, get ready. I'm coming through to Hot 97. That makes a lot of sense, you know, because they're just, everything about his mood and all the reporting about it is like, he's going apeshit and everyone's trying to do anything and everything to just keep him calm, including being like, nah, that's not that big of a deal. That's not that big of a deal. To the point where now he really thinks nothing is that big of a deal. And when it all falls goes down. It's not going to be good. So thank you for that. And also, one other thing I want to mention, too, is even the people that are in his, like, legal orbit, they are now being pulled into bigger fucking scandals like Mark Kasowitz and even Chris Christie and this guy Barry Birchfield, who was, like, the person they brought in to, like, oversee the Trump Organization sort of, like, trust. So it's like, yeah, we're making sure that he's not connected to the day-to-day business. Like, I'm the quote-unquote ethics person. These guys are now under investigation for being part of a legal team for this Malaysian business guy, Joe Low, who pulled off, like they say, one of like the biggest financial frauds in history.
$4.5 billion.
Yes. And so they're looking into Chris Christie and Kasowitz and this Birchfield guy because they're like, we think like you're being paid with laundered money, or y'all are laundering. Y'all are in some dirty money.
It's just a mess.
Right. And this guy, Barry Birchfield, is someone they're even floated as maybe someone who could replace Don McGahn as White House counsel. And like they're like, yo, this guy can't even, he doesn't even know where his money's coming from. And he's like, oh, well, we did our due diligence to make sure the source of the money was fine. But, you know, again, it's all dirty. It's all dirt, baby.
And now Trump is tweeting, Lester Holt got caught fudging my tape. Because, so, super producer Nick Stumpf was pointing out that, like, who's talking about the Lester Holt interview to him right now is probably his lawyers explaining to him, like,
what he said,
how fucked he is, and, like, why he shouldn't do the Mueller interview.
Right.
And so now, rather than dealing with that reality, he's being like, yo, this is fake version of reality where they made up the lie about me, even though the entire interview, the unedited interview, has been available on NBC's website since 2017.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but. Hey.
And he's also like thinking about impeachment because of his answers about like how the economy is going to collapse. So. He's having to confront harsh realities and, you know, doing like what you would expect a celebrity to do,
yeah,
which is,
and
just
look,
not dealing with it in any rational way.
All the rats are just scurrying off the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows you.
Other people who are scurrying off the ship, the top student loan debt official has resigned. He's been working with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau since it was created in 2011. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is the, you know, it was invented to prevent another financial crisis from happening like happened in 2008. And then Trump's homie Mulvaney came in and was like, you know, just basically deregulated everything and is professionally there to tear the entire institution down. And so the AP somehow got their hands on a copy of this guy's resignation letter that he clearly just sent to them, where he said, you've used the Bureau to serve the wishes of the most powerful financial companies in America. The damage you've done to the Bureau betrays these families, sacrificed the financial future of millions of Americans. Like all these different things that were done to prevent, you know, to make it easier for people to pay back their college loans,
right,
to also make it harder for for-profit colleges like DeVry and like places like that to target people and victimize people. They're just deregulating all that shit.
Yeah, so it's just it's a big profit party.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially with the predatory like sort of student loan industry. I mean, fuck, man.
It's,
you know,
huge.
The game is set up now that you have to go to college to have any shot of getting into the middle class.
Right.
Like you, or to stay off poverty.
Yeah,
right. Theoretically, because even then it might not even work. But, you know, like, so they've already built in this new level of limiting people's social mobility. And then from there, then you have these fucking sharks who are just like, oh, and then I'm just going to fucking keep you locked in,
right,
to this debt.
Yeah.
And you'll just get into a never ending cycle.
It's such a scam because like you're like 17, 18 deciding like to sign away on like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for school.
Exactly.
And like you're a kid. You don't know any better. Maybe your parents don't know any better. You sign it and then like you hear these stories about people paying like $50,000 off their loans theoretically. And then they actually owe more on their principal because,
right,
they've been paying,
right,
just interest the entire time. That's a fucking scam.
Yeah.
And
it's brutal.
It just like capitalizes on, you know, young people and this notion that they have no other opportunities but to go to school. And like, I can't get over it. Yo, I've been out of school a long time, like more than a decade. And I just finished paying off my student loan. Like, I'm done. But my student loan wasn't even that major. I know. It,
right,
wasn't that bad. But I was just like, I don't know how I would feel because I'm like a stress ball about money if like I had 300 G's hanging over my head and like, I don't know how I'll ever pay it.
Right.
That's wild.
Right. And it just ends up being things like, I'll just do the minimum payments.
Yeah. You do the minimum payments. And then like by the time you're 50, you're probably owe double your principal of,
right,
the loan or whatever.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. That's not about helping students. Like this educational system and the way the loans work just aren't about like the families, like this guy is saying.
Right.
It's about like serving these institutions that give out the
right.
loans.
Yeah. And a lot of these people, these career CFPB people, like they got into it to be like, yeah, this is to basically protect the consumer, the regular person, from these fucking vampires
right.
who are just trying to suck the fucking life out of the country. And yeah, like there's the morale has just gotten lower and lower with Mulvaney there because his attitude is like, all right, nerds trying to
right.
protect shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fucking deregulate.
He's knocking lunches out of people's hands.
He's the anti-Warren G deregulate.
Yes.
Because even back in the day when I was working in politics, a lot of the work that we would do for a given industry, right, is to keep the Congress people, the senators, whoever, who are in positions on committees that would actually do any kind of investigation into any given industry, whether that's energy, for-profit education, you name it, manufacturing. You know, you want to keep those people in those positions. So, like, when there's grumblings on a committee, it's like, I think we need to look into how, you know, the government or, like, what the benefit is to these universities or this source of energy. You want to have those people on those committees be like, nah, we don't need to do that. Nah, dead that.
Yeah.
And then you can continue to just, you know, feast on the rotting carcass. Unbeknownst to everyone else. So
there's a book out that I'm reading called Winner Takes All, where it's about how, you know, all these elite class, you just basically can't trust any elite class solution to the problems of that our society has because they're all specifically designed by them to
right.
keep those people in power, to keep the system.
Yeah, and
the
appease the people who are looking. It's like when fucking Pablo Escobar put himself in jail.
Right.
He's like,
that's exactly
right. I'm going to build my own jail. Don't worry.
Right.
I'm good. Y'all are good. I'm going to make my own jail and I won't bother anybody. It's like, fuck out of here, bro. We're coming for you.
They talk about the fact that like they're at this lean in conference for, you know, women in business trying to be able to like balance work life things. And one of the women is like, well, what if we took all this money that we're talking about and put it towards lobbying to get actual like maternity leave? Because that was what in Europe showed like actually got women into the workforce at more representative levels. And everyone just like looked at her like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why would we do that?
Yeah.
Or like with public schools, like actually letting all public schools be funded equally rather than based on the value of your parents' house. Everyone's like, shut up. We're doing charter schools, asshole. Like, it's all, you know.
Yeah, they're like, no, you don't get it.
Right.
Unless the lobbying firm we use is my husband's.
Right.
And then, yes, let's give them a $40 million contract to make that happen.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And on to some big news.
Big news.
Big news. The Dine and Ditch dater has been arrested. This is a story we've been following for a while.
For a while. Do you know about this?
No, I have no idea.
Amy, what is wrong with you?
Let me tell you a little bit about our man, Paul Gonzalez. He had a nasty habit of setting up like dates on Tinder or wherever, just setting up dates and being like, and this was all like in LA, like near Pasadena and stuff.
Okay.
He was saying, yo, let's meet up for a date, blah, blah, blah. He would be at the restaurant. The woman would show up. She'd be like, oh, should we eat? He's like, oh, actually, I already ate. But like, yeah, let's have something. He would eat a meal with them and then like slyly sneak off to the bathroom and just run away and leave the woman there with the fucking bill. Like, and sometimes it would be like $90. Other times it would be $250. And sometimes he would just be like, nah, I'm not really hungry. They'd talk for a second and she would be at the table. And then he would just use that as an opportunity to leave. Because usually what he would do is like show up hours before, just eat fucking everything. Like one meal he had four lobster tails or some shit.
Yeah.
And he would just fucking, then like the table would be clear, person shows up, he runs off, they get the bill. So this person has been arrested and now he's looking at 7 counts of extortion, 2 counts of attempted extortion, and 1 count of grand theft. And like I think the bills total up to like somewhere near like $1,000 or something like that. And if he's convicted, he could face up to 13 years in prison.
Wow.
For that.
I had a friend who...
Which, keep in mind, I think Paul Manafort was only looking at 8 to 10.
I know. What the fuck?
Whatever.
They're making an example out of it.
I'm just... Let's all put that into perspective,
too. They should take him in charge of something. That's like a decent scam.
Hey, you just changed that last name from Gonzalez to Manafort.
Right, exactly.
Years roll back.
Yeah.
I had a friend who... she was, like, going on lots of, like, online dates for a while. And she's just like... it's so great. And like, you know, she's a super feminist, but she's just like, I haven't paid for a meal in like a week. She's right, like, right. I think I'm going to do this for a while.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But this is, but that was like, you know, the.
He flipped it on him.
Yeah. But like the people she went on dates with like consented to paying and they were fine with it. But you just can't be like eating like.
No.
But like
they didn't
to
consent
eat,
to pay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like to sit there for hours before the date. And
gets there
eat.
And then she gets there,
yes,
and he's like.
That's so wild. It's kind of genius. I kind of respect that.
I do. I'm like, I mean, it's a fucking finesse. It's a scam. It's a scam.
What? Is he cute at least?
No, he has the face.
How
that,
did he get so many people to swipe right on him?
Well, he has like those eyes that you would be a little bit like, I could.
Let me see.
This could be the last thing I see with someone's that's hands like- wrapped around my throat.
Oh, yeah. No, but I get it.
I mean, look, he's got that kind
some
of
girls
like thick,
those eyebrows.
Those thick,
thicky,
no.
thick eyebrows.
We got those thick eyelashes. He got that natural eyeliner
right, right.
look. You know what I mean?
Blue eyes with real thick, dark eyelashes.
Well, really
he
respect,
got green eyes.
I really
so.
Respect the hustle, though, because he's just like, you know what? I've already eaten. Like, so he's kind of acting like he's not hungry. And,
I know, right?
Yeah. But I can't imagine if I went on a date with him and then, like, he leaves and then I'm saddled with, like, a $400, like, four lobster tail check. I would be pissed.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because also, he's not even that cute.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't even get scammed by a cute guy.
Well, that's probably because I was wondering why did he do the eating beforehand? Because then, like, he's putting the risk in that they don't show up and he's stuck with the bill.
Yeah.
So he does the eating beforehand because he knows they might be disappointed when they show up. And so he needs to get out before they get out.
Or he just feels like, or make sure that maybe he does a little research. Like, what's your job? She's like, I'm a lawyer. He's like, oh, let's meet at Mastro's for right. this date. Like, I'm about to go in. The thing was, his move would be like, oh, my phone's dying. And he's like, and I got it. And I'm waiting for my call from my mom about my aunt who's really sick. I'm going to go to the car to get the charger real quick.
How did they find him?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they have pictures.
They
of
have
him
his picture. Yeah, they have his name.
So
I think,
just
yeah.
put it out
oh,
there.
Okay.
I think eventually they probably just like, oh, you live there. They maybe just waited for him and just nabbed him up. Yeah. But he also skipped out on a hair salon bill, too.
So they had a Tinder date at a hair salon?
No. Oh, he does this shit of just going in there and
dine and dash.
Yep. Just fucking sliding on out of there.
Well, respect to you, Paul Gonzalez, if only your last name was Manafort. But
yeah.
Honestly, like, they need to have some lower level. Like, the way that Catch Me If You Can, they took that dude who was the real-life con artist,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, we're putting you in charge of the FBI fraud unit because you're, like, such a
right.
scam genius.
Scam lord.
Like, they should have some lower-level version of that where it's like, this guy has, like, ingenuity. Like, they should
right.
put him into, like, some executive in training.
Some
like,
weird version of
yeah.
Con Air or
yeah,
Suicide
exactly,
Squad.
Right.
With
but like where
low
they,
budget scammers.
Yeah. Because that takes initiative. There's plenty of people out there
right.
just being hungry.
Led by Lacey Mosley.
Right. I actually want to be staffed on that because
right.
I have some ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I think it's the same thing where I feel like sometimes I would be a better detective than detectives are. Like, I know how to read people. Like, I knew
right.
this person was shady from the jump. I feel like, yeah, I want to just be on the scam. I feel like we have these skills. Scam squad. Yeah.
I don't think I'm a good detective. I think I'm just good at like thinking of ways to cheat systems. Cause that's
yeah.
Like, I'm gonna expose my parents. But like when I was little, we used to go shopping and like
we used to do an SSI scam. You know what I mean?
No. Oh my God. No.
All
no,
I had to do
like,
is put my brother's name on the application.
But you remember how back in the day, like this is a while ago, but like they didn't really do barcodes as much. Like the register person would like literally type in how much it
yeah.
cost because it was just like a little sticker of the price.
Oh, right, right,
and
right.
And my
oh,
mom
yeah.
would like do the sly like sticker switch.
Yeah.
Not because she didn't want to pay for it, but she didn't think it was worth that much.
Oh,
you know, or whatever.
I
like
that
like,
justification.
Yes, and I was
it's like
little.
Well, they're ripping me off.
Yeah.
So.
And so I
just
remember
just
thinking that,
up.
Being like, okay, this is okay then, like you know, and then, like
respect
how to do it slyly and like get all the residue off or whatever. But we didn't do it all the time. It was just like on like.
Hey,
things
you're not on trial. Don't worry.
Yeah,
you know
and also back before
we're
cameras
yeah.
were everywhere. What are they gonna? They're not gonna be able to prove that she switched it. So
no,
yeah,
just, that shit just fell off.
I just remember mm-hmm. like it wasn't even like she wasn't even saving that much money. So I think it's also the high of the scam.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Or you do the shit at the Nike outlet store where you get the box and you put the other shoes in there for the cheaper shoes and you hope that they don't know what fucking shoe it is.
They
and
always
like, oh,
open the box.
Yo, they didn't used to in the early 90s, mid 90s.
They always open the box because of Miles.
That's why they cut the lid off the boxes. I feel like they can just see right in there. Anyway.
In other food related news.
Yo, Scam Squad, coming soon.
You guys should start a scam podcast. I want to get in on
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. No, Lacey and I have been talking about
Scamcast.
That. Scamcast. Oh, Scast.
scast.
That sounds weirder. But yes, sorry, other news, pressing news, finally.
Miles.
Yes.
You wrote this up and you said all great people are Virgos?
Yes.
Okay.
The greatest.
Beyonce, Michael Jackson.
Miles Gray.
I am too. When's your
birthday? Colonel Harland. September 15th. David Sanders.
And yes, and Colonel Harland David Sanders, also known as the KFC Colonel. And to commemorate this, KFC, they have a contest. If you name your fucking kid Harland, and this child is born on September 9th, the Colonel's birthday, and if you legally name this motherfucker Harland, you can enter to win $11,000.
In KFC.
In just in herbs KFC and spices. Just no, herbs and spices. So you can do it at your own home.
That's not even that much money.
I know.
That's that kid's whole life.
That's a scam.
That's a scam.
Yeah, that's an advertising scam, yeah. For sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to go through some hoops to be like, this child's name is Harland, okay? And if you don't win, you're stuck with a motherfucker named Harland.
It's also not the worst name in the world, I don't think. It's like fine. It's like it could be a name.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
not like they're asking you to name him like Bucket of Chicken or something.
I thought the name was going to be Colonel Sanders. Like right. Colonel right. Sanders Tompkins or something.
I don't mind
Colonel Sanders
either.
O'Brien.
Yeah. I don't mind the name Colonel.
And this is my daughter, Colonel Sanders O'Brien.
I mean, people are naming their kids, like white people are naming their kids wild shit. So like Colonel is not like out of the question.
What's the wildest name you've heard that you know of right now?
I mean, I just hear them, like, just a lot of, like, variations on, like, Aylin, Kaylin, Jalen, Jaden.
Daylin, Laylin.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There was this one lady. Oh, fuck. She did this, one of those gender reveal videos. And it wasn't even that good, and it went viral. But it was like, oh, here I am with my four boys. And her boys had the worst names, and I can't remember them right now. But they all had a K sound at the beginning. One of them was like, I swear, her name was Cut. But wow. Like she had four boys and the reveal was like she opened this box and a bunch of like blue balloons came out and then at the end it was a pink one. It's like, oh my God, I got a girl after all. But I'm like, all your children have trash names. Stop making babies.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you name a child? What's an acceptable name to you right now?
I'm not thinking like that right now. Like,
I'm not saying you have to think of your own child, but you'd be like, oh, that's a wave for a kid's
name. I think family names, like people like who are your ancestors, like great grandparents or grandparents or whatever.
Masaru.
Yeah, I think that names like that are like respectful and show like history. So, like my partner's grandfather's name was Ignacio.
Mm.
And I was like, that's a cute name.
That
you
is
can,
cool.
Yeah, you can do Iggy, but then it's also, I think it can also be called like Nazi.
Or Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or be like, yo, he a Nazi, yeah. Yo.
Because I guess his grandma used to call him Nyatz. Like, Nyatz.
All right, Ignacio.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like historical names are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
One of my favorite historical figures, JC.
Hey,
greatest, bro.
Let me tell you guys about another community organizer who gets a great word. His name is Jesus Christ.
With a story to tell.
Yeah.
Amy, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you?
On Twitter, I am Amy Adoyzie. That's AmyAdoyzie.
That was a screen name, right?
What's that?
Was that a screen name?
No. You mean like a pen name?
Yeah, or something. Didn't you say earlier that was from a...
it's like, no, it was like when I was like a punk kid. You know how like punk people have like fake last names or whatever?
Yeah.
So I wanted one and I was on a phone call with my best friend and he just like muttered something and that's what I heard.
Adoyzie.
Yeah, Adoyzie. And like often like they're alliterations.
Right.
Yeah, and so I really fucked with it. And then I like signed up for my Twitter handle like... decade ago or something.
There
I just
go.
Didn't think about
just
it.
Just on that punk phase. There you go.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes. I'm super into this tweet by user Chief Jalia, at Chief Jalia, and it simply says, brown nipples are the superior nipples.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't realize that brown, like...
I used to hate mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, okay, obviously I knew I had brown nipples, and I had seen porn, and I'd seen, and I was like, "What the fuck is up with these pink nipples?"
What the fuck?
Who are these freaks?
Who are these aliens, mom?
Right. And often they were like the areolas were massive because, like, I think a lot of the brown nipples that I've seen, the areolas are smaller. So it's just like this weird gelatinous pink.
Oh, mine are massive.
Patty, really?
Yeah. They're like dinner plates.
Wow. Yeah. Your chest isn't even like the size of a dinner plate. You have overlapping areolas?
It looks like a Venn diagram. It's where my heart rests is the overlap.
But I really fuck with that because I think that we need more brown nipple visibility.
Yeah, BNP, dude. Brown nipple pride.
Miles.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Oh my God. I thought you would never ask me. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet I like is from Elon Mustard at Nice Mustard. And it goes like this: Mr. Gorbachev, tear off my balls. I don't know why I fucking love that shit. It's so stupid. But any sort of
Mr. Gorbachev tear.
Tear, yeah, any or yeah, any variation. Augmentation variation on that. I'm all for that.
Tweet I've been enjoying is, you know why everything tastes like chicken? It is.
Oh, Jesus.
No. The tweet I've been enjoying is Freudian Slipknot. Oh, Carboys are just horse girls, don't at me. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. We also post those in the information about the episode. Just click on the episode, the little eye, and you'll see the footnotes. Miles, what song are we riding out on today?
I think I just want to do something thematic again. This will be, since everybody's running from that fucking White House.
Run!
Let's do Ghostface Killah, Run. You know who it is. It's Tony Stark. He's pretty Tony. Here we go. Ghostface Killah, Run!
We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Run!
Run!
Cops is coming, running through the pissy stairwells. I ain't hear nothing, bugging. Only thing I remember was a bullshit summer. So I stopped at the second floor, ran across cracks. It's falling, my pockets is mean. Clean when I vanished off, took off. Made track look easy to walkie talkies and DTs had. Black day was rated PG. Run, I will not give up. No, quick flag the car down. Yo, take yo, me yo. To ghosts here they come now. Kill off quick, back up. Hit the bitch dog, turn downhill like the Molly Spliff. Run, I will not get bagged on a rock. Run, see what happened to Un, they bad with they cops. Run, they am shit, plan shit, destroy evidence. Fuck a case, I'm not coming home when I'm 56. Die with the heart of Scarface and take 50 licks before I let these crackers throw me in shit. Bounce if you a good kid, bounce. Through the bird hop, curse, swerve and get served. These cocksuckers got nerve. Heard I was killing shit, they must got word that I told the chief of Rich Paul I don't wanna merge. Run, if you sell drugs in the school zone. Run, if you getting chased with no shoes on. Run, fuck that, run. Cops got guns, they giving out life like body tons. Run, if you ain't do shit, you hit that next felony, nigga, it's like 3-0. So, run, have fences, jump on the benches. When you see me coming, get the fuck out the entrance. Run, fuck that, run. Cops got guns. Motherfucker.
I might gotta take my shirt off.
Yeah, kid.
I like that one.
Uh-huh, go in, go in.
Yo, it's Task Force Tuesday. The Knox is in the black car. I got 500, 100 packs in my backyard. Uh-huh. Clear 12-12s that look like stuffed shells. I'm cutting niggas' throats on the sales while they puff L's.
Whack.
Don't leave nothing unbagged, shave everything. I learned from the OGs to save everything. They come by one more time, they gon' hop out. They too deep and one is a bitch, she getting knocked out. Then I can get rid of the pack, but I just copped this pretty chrome thing, so I'm dipping with that. Downshifting on them like I got gears on me.
Run.
Besides that, I got about 5 years on me.
Run.
Scared to death, running like I got bears on me.
Run.
My Tim start feeling like they Nike ears on me.
Run.
It's hard for me to slow down, it's like I'm on the throughway. My belt's in the crib on the floor by my two-way. Now I'm trying to hold my hammer up and my pants too. If they don't kill me, they gon' give me a number I can't do. Rather it be the streets than jail where I die at. And I'm asthmatic, so I'm looking for somewhere to hide at. But they too close and I got this new toast. Imagine if I would've let off a shot or two. You know what I gotta do.
Run! If you sell drugs in the school zone. Run! If you getting chased with no shoes on. Run! Fuck that! Run! Cops got guns, they giving out life like body tons. Run! If you ain't do shit, you hit that next felony, nigga, it's like 3-0. So, run! Hop fences, jump on the benches. When you see me coming, get the fuck out the entrance. Run! Fuck that! Run! Cops got guns!
Motherfucker, fucker, fucker.